right. Thank you, everybody. Welcome to the June 11th meeting of Harris County Mo 136. I've got some prepared remarks to read because we're doing this. We're doing this via teleconference and video. Good evening. This is the president of Harris County Mud 136, Neil Polanski, speaking. The June 11th board meeting of Harris County Mud 136 is now called to order. The video conference meeting is being audio recorded per the Texas Open Meeting Regulations and direction from the Attorney General of Texas. Members of the public may request to listen to the audio recording of this meeting after conclusion of the meeting, and a transcript of the meeting will be available for listening at the hcmud136.org website. I hope that everyone is staying well during this time. The board is conducting the meeting via video conference to protect the safety of staff, board members, and the public. I'm now going to call roll to identify everybody on the call. Please answer present. The directors, Barry Greer.
Present.
Brent Phelps. Brent, you're muted. Brent's present, I see him. Adam Rodriguez, I see you. Eric Worthington.
Present.
Okay. Consultant, Rose Montalbano.
I'm here.
Hey, Rose. Patty Rodriguez.
Hello. I'm here.
Bob Wimpy.
Present.
Keith Arant.
Present.
Jane Mayer.
Present.
Thank you. Now I'll ask for any members of the public or additional participants of this conference call that were not named to clearly state your name for the record.
My name is Robert Atkinson. I'm a resident of the district.
Welcome, Mr. Atkinson. Anybody else? To promote order and avoid conclusion, I ask that everyone follow these guidelines. Identify yourself each time after you speak, and then conclude your comments with the word pass or otherwise indicate that you are finished to pass the conversation back to the group. We will now move to the first item of the agenda. Public comments. Anybody? Mr. Atkinson as well. I don't know if you're here for one of the other agenda items or just...
Another meeting, Zoom meeting. I'm a district engineer also, and I've got another district meeting after this Zoom meeting, and it starts in just a little bit. And I was sitting here, and I saw it. I saw your Mueller next door thing on there, so I thought I would just come stop by. And I've lived here for several years and never been one of your meetings. You know, I'm a mud district engineer myself, so here I am today. I'm very happy with what you're doing and how things are working in the district. I'm pleased.
Well, thank you very much for being here, and we appreciate you taking your time to attend. If you have any questions or comments regarding anything that's going on while you're here, please let us know. Okay, the second agenda item is approving the
minutes. I recognize you, Robert.
Patty?
Hi, Patty. How are you?
Okay, the second agenda item is approving the minutes of the meeting of May 14th. Has everybody had an opportunity to review the minutes, and are there any changes or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
This is Brent, I second.
Okay, Barry with the motion, Brent second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please state your name and your vote.
Barry, yes.
Adam, yes.
Brent, yes.
Eric, yes.
Neil, yes. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Rose, the number three item is looking at the bookkeeper's report, investment report, and the bills. Can you take it away?
All right. Sure. Rose Maltabano here. I had prepared my report this evening and put it on green paper because I thought we were going to be in person. So I'm looking at green paper, guys. But anyways, if you have my report open to follow along with me and your two accounts, I do have those cash balances there at the bottom as of today. The average rate of text pull last month fell to 0.2685%. Moving on to your second page, that's all the activity since last time we met. You dispersed out of your general fund $125,485.54. Under receipts, I do want to point out that we did get accounts receivables from your operator for April and May. Moving on to page three, this is the current month's activity. The checks for your approval today total $60,328.73. Point out check number 10139 to McCall Gibson. That is the billing for your audit. Check number 10146 is the Texas State Comptroller. So once a year, I look through all of your old checks that have not cleared the bank, specifically your customer deposit refunds. If any of those checks this year were older than February of 2019, they needed to be reported to the Texas State Comptroller and exceeded to the state. They have a really nice website where I go on and I put all of the customer's information on that website. And then when I turn in the monies along with the report, that customer can then find their monies through the comptroller. All those void checks listed under receipts are the checks that are going to be exceeded to the comptroller. On page four, I have your budget to actual, and we're in the new budget cycle for 1 month. Ended April the 30th. Your revenues are running under the $14,124, mainly tracking back to your water and your pumpage fees. On your expenditures, you're running under the $65,785, mainly tracking back to your water plant improvements, as well as your purchased sewer services. So overall, you are showing excess revenue of the $51,661.80. And then the last page of my report has that budget broken down into sewer, water, and other. And that's all I have to report this evening unless you guys have questions.
I was muted. Any of the costs associated with the improvements of the water plant will be on following budgets, not budgets, future reports.
Right. This is Rose. We haven't gotten any pay estimates yet for that.
Okay. Is Bob there?
Yeah, Neil, I'm here. And so when we get pay estimates, they will be included with my engineering report.
Okay.
But we won't see a pay estimate probably for at least a couple of months just while they're ordering equipment and stuff. But I'll have a copy of that in my report.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Bob.
This is Brent. Engineering costs related to design, wouldn't those be included in that? For example, the electrical that is in the report she just provided?
This is Rose. So actually for anything the engineer is doing, we have a separate line item. If you look under, it goes purchase services, then it goes professional fees. There's a line item for engineering for the electrical and whatnot, and there have been costs associated with that.
Any other questions in regards to the bookkeeper's report? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the bookkeeper's report, investment report, and authorized payment of bills?
This is Barry. I'll make the motion.
Adam, second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please state your name and your vote.
Barry, yes.
Adam, yes.
Brent, yes.
Eric, yes.
Neil, yes. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you very much, Rose.
You're welcome.
And Patty, you're up. Tax assessor collector's report. And I see okay. I see it magically.
Yes. Everyone see it?
Yes.
Okay. So the first page, your taxes receivable at the end of May, total $12,091.96. On the next page, your receipts total $1,634.90. And your disbursements total $2,511.99. Leaving you with a cash balance at the end of May of $25,184. On the next page, you'll see the checks for June. You did have your Harris County Appraisal District quarterly assessment. You see this four times a year. Your disbursements total $2,635.47, and that will leave you with $22,548.53 in your tax account once they clear. And Neil, did you get those?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. Okay, on the next page, you'll see for 2019, you're at 99% collected, and you're 99% or better for all prior years. And last year at this time, you were at 98.7, so you're actually doing slightly better this year. The next page has your breakout, I'm sorry, your tax taxable values for each tax year. And the tax rates are listed and the adjusted levies over on the right. I did want to point out that we did get your 2020 preliminary value. It did come in a little higher at $256,007,287. Which is about a $13 million difference, which is about a 5.35% difference. But that is before protests. So later this summer when we get certified, it'll probably come in a little lower. But just kind of wanted to give you an idea of what the preliminaries look like. The next couple of pages are just the breakout of your tax rate components. For y'all, it's all general fund anyway, and notes and historical information. And that is it. The last page is blank.
Patty,
we don't have any payment plans in place right now. So,
Patty, what's the, this is Neil, what's the talk on the street as far as 2021?
Ooh. 2021 is not, I really haven't heard much talk other than there's probably going to be certainly protests and maybe reductions in value depending on what happens with the market, whether or not there's a lot of foreclosures or if sales decrease and there's not a lot of market activity. But as far as I know, the market really hasn't slowed down. And we really won't be able to tell until later this year if there's going to be a lot of foreclosures.
Right.
So I haven't heard much for 2021.
If it got to the point where there was going to be a district-wide revaluation lower due to the ongoing effect of the virus, I'm just throwing this out here. I know that there's nobody on this call who could answer it, even if Dimitri was here. But I wonder if there could be a state relaxation of the rollback requirement. Because if taxable value goes down enough, you might see a wholesale need a lot of districts to change their tax rate upwards.
What I have heard was an opinion from the Attorney General about whether or not this type of disaster can, if people can use it as an exemption like they did with the hurricane when the hurricane Harvey There were people that had damage to their homes, and they were able to request that the appraisal district reappraise their properties and give them an exemption for the amount of time that, or for the amount of damage they received in their home. So a lot of questions were being brought up about whether or not this is also considered a disaster in that sense, but they came back with the opinion that this is not a physical damage type disaster. It's more of an economic disaster, and therefore that protection or that exemption wouldn't apply. So that's the only thing I've heard officially.
Well, plus as far as the effect on this district is concerned, MUD 136, the exposure that we have to commercial related issues and devaluations and foreclosures and businesses being negatively affected is going to be limited because we're primarily residential.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that we wouldn't be affected. It just means that, we don't have half of our property, our assessed valuation in commercial properties. So we may be a little bit better set to weather this particular storm, but who knows if it keeps going on for 3, 4, 5, 6 more months. Who knows?
Definitely. I definitely do see probably a decrease in value on those commercial properties that are income-based, so like apartments and hotels. They're going to protest their value, and they're probably going to win.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions or comments on the tax assessor's report?
This is Adam. I just wanted to mention I just finished my 2019 protest. I told them I wanted a 12% reduction just because I was being a jerk, and they gave me an 11% reduction without saying anything. So I don't know if our values may be going down if depending on how many people are protesting.
You're 2020, right? Not 2019 already. You were protesting your 2020.
Sorry, yeah, whichever one.
Yeah, 2020. Well, good, I guess, right?
So
good for you, not so good for the district.
If we have to raise taxes, it's because of you, Adam.
Yeah. You couldn't have asked for 5%, right?
Right.
Okay.
I think at this point they're probably just wanting to clear them up because I know HCAD is having some issues with social distancing, obviously, and they're probably trying to just get them done and not have to worry about them coming in person and having hearings.
That's interesting. Well, it's affecting all of us, but I work for the city of Houston, and I go downtown every day, and we're social distancing, but we're all there. Anyway, any other comments on the tax assessor collector's report? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
This is Eric, so moved.
Adam, second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please state your name and your vote.
Barry, yes.
Adam, yes.
Brent, yes.
Eric, yes.
Neil, yes. Motion carries. Thank you,
Thank
Patty.
You.
I appreciate it. Did you have something else that you needed to bring before us? Jane was talking about something that I... Or it was Dimitri gave me a call about something.
Go ahead, Jane.
Oh, no, I was just going to tell you, yeah, I think Dimitri called you in regards to Senate Bill 2 that was passed in the last legislative session, which requires the district to post a lot of tax information on a website. And so Patty's company offers those services for the district. And I think Dimitri was looking at their contract. And so we would have it on the next agenda to formally talk about it, but Patty, you can obviously go into more depth if you'd like.
So Senate Bill 2 is was a bill that was passed in the last legislative session. It's the transparency bill. So the section 2617 and 2618, and mind you, I'm going off memory here because I don't have my notes with me. But basically, it requests or it requires districts to have certain information on a website. If they have their own website, they can use their own website or a website of that is easily accessible. So a lot of our districts are using us and our website to post this information. The information that is required is your names, addresses, phone numbers, your contact information, which in your case, we're not going to put any of your personal information on there. It's all going to be whatever. I think it's the attorney's information. It also requires a couple of years of budgets, so your current year budget and your last 2 year budgets, and then they want like the difference in dollars and percentage from year to year. They also want the maintenance budgeted items and the debt service budgeted items. They want tax rate information, and they want your most current audit. So if the board chooses to use us, we do have an amendment to our contract that adds those duties to our duties or to our list of duties. And we would have on our website a link that would take the taxpayer to your page on our webpage that has all that information. And obviously, we would have to keep up with it anytime there's a change in directors. Or a change, every time your audit changes, we would update it. Anytime your budget changes, we would update that. Tax rate information during tax rate time, we would probably go in there and do, you know, changes as needed. There's also a database that the appraisal district is requiring now that would allow taxpayers, when they're on their website, HCAT's website, they're going to have a lot of information about the proposed tax rates that a district is considering, and a taxpayer can then click a link that would allow them to post any opinions about that particular proposed tax rate. So that's another thing that we would also have to work with HCAT to keep up to date and to maintain if any opinions do come across or comments. We could either respond or we could bring to the board whenever we see something like that come up. But it has your tax rate hearing information so that taxpayers know what you're proposing and when you're planning to meet. So those are just a few of the things I could think off the top of my head. I probably left something off, but I'm sure if we discuss next month, I'll be more prepared.
So is there a prohibition against putting this information on an existing MUD website?
No, we have some districts that are using their website.
Because we have a lot of this information already on the website.
Right. I think it just needs to be a page that actually has I could be wrong, but I think it has to be a page with it all together. It can't be like on this tab, it's this information. On this tab, it's this information. It has to be all consolidated onto one screen.
So is somebody going to be doing an executive summary of this for MUD board directors, or are we basically being told that we need to put it in the hands of either the attorneys or the tax assessor or the bookkeeper? Or somebody.
Neil, I think Dimitri has like a summary of this, and I can definitely tell him to send along to you guys.
We'd like to see the guidance. We'd like to see what if the state is requiring for us to do this in a certain format, then we should be able to see that. An educated decision as to how we want to go about putting that information out.
Make a note.
Is there a deadline for this information to be posted?
I think there was a deadline, but I don't think there's a, there's not a penalty. it just happened, and everybody's either trying to scramble to get a website going or figure out where they're going to do it.
Okay.
So.
All right. So, does this need to be carried as an agenda item for future agendas so that we can wait and watch for further guidance?
Yeah, Neil, I'll put that as an agenda item for July, and then Dimitri will have further conversations with you all.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions or further comments about that in particular?
It's Adam. I thought that we had made all of the adjustments to our website required, I think, at the beginning of the year when that came out. But, yeah, based on what Patty was saying, we may be missing a couple things. But like I said, I know right now I'm looking at every tax report from the last 5 years, so we've got all our documents on there. We just may need a couple things like the percentages she was talking about that we'll have to investigate, like you said, a little more closely over.
And it's definitely if you have a website and you're able to post, like I said, we do have some districts that have their own website and the information is passed on to their website carriers or their website provider, and they post it on their behalf. So it's just an option. If you wanted to have us do it, we could do it. And if you'd rather use your own website, by all means.
I think that's where we'll just wait for guidance. And
okay.
If it all needs to be on one page in a certain format or linked from one page that's called something in particular, then we can decide as a district if we want to do it ourselves, and if one of our directors, meaning Adam, wants to continue to do this and monitor it for us with your help, then we'll do it. If it looks like it's going to be too onerous for him to do, and if it's going to be too complicated, then we'll look into having Lyra do it or somebody else.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Patty.
Thank you all.
All right. Mr. Wimpy, are you there?
I am here. And so just kind of a quick update on the water plant improvements. We issued the notice to proceed for June 1. We've gotten all of their submittals on the shop drawings. Most of those have been reviewed and approved. There's a couple with some minor comments, but they seem to be on the ball so far. And what we'll do kind of moving forward is once we get all the shop drawings approved and back to them and they can place their orders with the various vendors, we can start trying to get a schedule from them moving forward, what's going to happen. I think we talked about it a little bit last month, but, we won't see any real activity out there for probably 2 months, just because some of this electrical equipment is a 6 to 8 week delivery time, approximately. So they won't jump out there and do a little bit and then demobilize and then come back out and then demobilize. So, but we'll get a schedule from them here in the next month or so once they get their orders placed with their vendors. They were pretty quick on all their submittals. They had everything submitted within a week of the notice to proceed. So, progress is being made, and I'll open it up for any questions anybody may have at this point with that project.
Barry, I know you had some questions last month about the process. You're muted.
All right, sorry. Bob has answered those questions. Bob, have they the contractor, have they been out there doing any kind of surveying or laying out at all, locating?
No, they haven't done any of that yet. Just, I think, probably fear of if they put a stake in the ground that, you know, somebody would knock it out, you know, Keith's operator or something if he was out there driving around. So, and really the only thing they need to stake is going to be the new building.
Right.
So they haven't been out there. We're trying to get, we'll have a pre-construction meeting with them here probably in the next couple of weeks. We wanted to get through kind of these submittals and case service questions or comments or, and so we'll have a pre-construction meeting with them. But like I said, we, maybe at the July meeting, if not then surely, before the August meeting, we would have a formal schedule from them just kind of moving forward. So, you know, as soon as we get any kind of schedule information, I'll pass that on to you guys. We won't wait for a board meeting, just so you can see what that looks like. But, again, I don't expect to see any activity out there for another, 4 to 6 weeks, something like that, and maybe a little bit longer. But they, like I said, they were very timely on their submittals. They had all of them submitted within a couple of days of each other. So it was pretty impressive from that standpoint. And again, this contractor has done several, they've always been a sub, but they've done a ton of City of Houston jobs. So, they're used to this type of work and the Houston process and, I've been impressed so far with their submittal schedule.
If you could, just a little item, name the contractor in your engineer reports. I know it's short and sweet.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the name of the company is.
It's Andrew Jordan Industrial. And when we start having pay estimates, you'll see that name in there. But yes, I certainly will put that name in there.
All right.
And that, Neil, that's really all I've got. I can hang on to the phone. I know we've got the Wilson Elementary School on here, and I'm fine to sit around through Jackrabbit as well and Keith's operation report. I'm just kind of at your direction on, you know, what items you want me to sit around for.
I just also want to make sure that when we anticipate having some contractors out at the water well site, that Keith is fully in the loop on that so that there's coordination. I would assume that that's going to happen, correct?
Yes. The pre-construction meeting that we talked about, certainly Keith's guys will be involved with that, and we'll exchange contact information so that contractor knows to give them some advance warning when they're going to be out there, what's going on. And so, yeah, that's certainly something that will get addressed.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for Bob in regards to the water plant project? Okay, thanks, Bob. If you'll hang around for the next couple items, I'd appreciate it.
I can certainly do that.
Okay, review and discuss construction plans for Cypher ISD Wilson Elementary School. We were able to get construction plans from them. I would assume that they're going to have to contact either you, Bob, or Keith in order to, you know, when they get started with the actual project and infrastructure, that they're going to have to contact us about connections. They're probably also going to have to contact West, I would think, at least from an informational standpoint, West Harris County Regional Water Authority. Is that correct? Either Keith or Bob, if you can opine on that.
Yes, this is Keith. In regards to the West Authority, I'm not certain, but I can tell you that we've already been in communication with the contractor. We've kind of began to put the pieces of the puzzle together to ensure that they've got the right folks and contact information at our shop to ensure that they can receive whatever information that they're needing related to inspections, water taps, so on and so forth. So that communication has since begun since we last spoke.
Okay. Are there any red flags in regards to any of the construction plans that either you've seen, Keith or Bob?
This is Bob. No, I mean, they're replacing all their sewer line, which is actually a good thing. You know, I don't know how old that thing is, but replacing a sewer line is a good thing these days. Thank God our wells, a ways away from this, so I don't think there's any contamination issue if they had a leaking sewer or something. But they're adding a fire service. They do have to drop in a detention basin there because they're increasing the impervious area out there. I didn't have any issues with the construction plans. Again, we just were trying to make sure that they were coordinating with Keith's office to make sure that the taps and the connections are properly done by Keith and or inspected by Keith, whatever the case may be. So I had no problems with what they were doing there.
Bob, from an uninformed standpoint, people have asked a couple of questions about exactly what a detention basin is versus retention. I think most of us, even I, understand the difference. However, is there a difference in design for detention basins that mean that some basins stay charged with water longer than others, or is it how they're designed, or are they meant to just empty out completely ASAP?
Yeah, a detention basin is constantly releasing. A retention basin is they're withholding and they're impounding water and then, you know, either slowly release it by some kind of gate or a pump system. But this looks purely to just be a standard detention basin. So it will impound water because that's what it's designed to do, but there will be a constant release. And again, opposed to a retention basin where actually it's impounded and it may sit there for, you know, 24 hours or 36 hours or a couple of days, whatever it is. So, but theirs just looks to be a standard free draining detention basin.
Is the release into our Greenbelt drainage easement or the Harris County Flood Control District?
Yeah, they're draining into a Harris County system.
Manhole.
And okay. So their plans had to go through Harris County and their detention had to be approved by them. And so yes, that all went through Harris County. So it's not a 136 system there.
Is there any either state or otherwise requirement that says that a detention basin has to be X distance away from residents?
Not that I'm aware of, because I mean they've got a fence around theirs. There's a lot of detention basins that don't even have a fence around them.
Okay.
So it looks like they've kind of. I mean, they were smart. You're gonna have a bunch of little kids running around out there, and they've got a track right next to it, so it made a lot of sense for them to put a fence around it. But again, there's multiple detention basins out there that don't have any fencing on them at all.
Okay. And there appears to be, this is a non-engineering point, but that people have raised the question on Nextdoor as to whether or not this is an aesthetic issue. People raise the question as to whether or not the fence that they're going to put around the new project will be chain link or something else. And I've actually started to inquire about that. Again, that's not an engineering or an operational issue, but it is something that potentially a bad-looking fence could adversely affect the taxable value of the district. And both Eric, the president of the Homeowners Association, and myself are going to be in that loop, make sure that they put the best looking facility around their field when they do the work. So, like I said, that's not an engineering issue, but we're an interested party as to how that looks. Okay. Any other questions or comments on the Wilson project?
This Adam, one thing I'd mention is I think one of the posts on Nextdoor said that they were proposing a 6-foot fence. I think from what I could see on the plans, that was just a mislabel of the existing shorter fence that's there, because they didn't, the plans I don't believe actually say what kind of fence they are planning on putting there, which is probably good for us if we want to have a say in what kind it is. Over.
I think people are going off the kind of fence that they've been putting around other Cy-Fair ISD projects, including one adjacent to Leader and Watkins off of Keith Harrow. And, you know, I think that's why the aesthetics are important to folks. It's not an issue. It's not a big issue for us, but if we can lend our voice to it, I think maybe we should. Okay, let's move on. Jackrabbit Road, PUD matters and take appropriate action. Did anybody phone in to their conference the other night, their meeting? I did not. Okay. Did you all get a copy of the engineer's report that was going to be presented at the meeting the other night, June 9th?
Barry, yes.
Okay. And Bob, you've had an I believe I forwarded it to you as well.
You did. Yeah, I did have it. I did have a look at that. Yes.
Looks like it's going to cost a little bit more money to put up the flood wall. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah, you know, the timing too, I mean, what we're seeing really in the traditional subdivision contracts right now is a lot of bidders are showing up. Where we used to have 5 or 6, now we're having like double digit, just because, you know, with the slowdown with COVID is they were eating through backlog. And so everybody was getting kind of aggressive, really not so much on pricing, because the vendors really haven't slashed prices, but the contractors are looking for work. But that is kind of a specialty item, that flood wall. So that may not be something that, you know, you have 5 or 6 or 8 or 12 bidders on. It may just be kind of a little bit of an isolated work area. And so maybe you don't have as many bidders, but right now, really the market has been looking a little bit better just from a competitive standpoint.
Well, his engineering report said that, unfortunately, unfortunately, with the soil type at the plant, parentheses, expensive soil, the footing may have to be more robust than originally planned. The structural engineer is looking at the options. So,
yeah,
maybe that says that it's going to be more expensive than it was. Said to be at first. Anyway,
structural engineers typically drive prices up, Neil, as opposed to just general civil like me that try to keep prices down. All right, I'm glad y'all got that joke.
Yeah, we got it. All right. Okay, another item that sort of goes into operations as well as the that as long as you're here, Bob, is the concrete liner, or the liner that's going to go on the gravity line adjacent to Pine Grove Lane.
Yes.
Between you and Keith, I know we were going to wait a couple months and see how these projects would bid out.
If you recall, Neil, I've got another district not too far from yours, and we're getting ready to bid that. I thought we would already have bids, but we've had a little bit of a delay. But probably in the next month or so, we'll have some a good reading on what the industry's doing with that, because it's just like this segment. Yours is an 18-inch sewer, and we've got some large diameter concrete pipes, so very similar in nature. And so we'll get a good feel for what the unit prices are looking like. And again, it's the one that I'm bidding is like 5,000 feet of pipe. And Keith, I forget, this is more like 1,500 feet or something like that, Keith. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'd have to go back and...
Yeah, just approximately. So, well, as soon as we get some bids on that, you know, I'll coordinate with Keith and we'll report back to you, but we'll see what the market conditions look like.
Neil, you're muted.
Sorry about that. Is there something in regards to the flow meter on the Pine Forest line that Keith and Bob can speak to?
Yes, sir. This is Keith. I don't know if you all saw included in my email with the report, there was also an attachment. We had some literature that I had previously sent, kind of just as COVID-19. That's it, Barry. Just as COVID-19 was getting up and going. But ultimately, what's here is there's essentially three options for how we could potentially meter the flow, two of which require that the district would purchase the equipment, we would install it, we would maintain it, we would so on and so forth. The option number one is essentially kind of a turnkey deal in the sense that you rent, and ultimately it's a little more expensive, but this would be my recommendation. They would come, they would install the equipment, they would monitor the equipment. You know, the issue on some of these sanitary sewer meters is that you get a slug of rags or grease or whatever else. If it's not being rightly monitored and maintained, then you've got a meter in the ground that's not accurately registering flow. And so for the purposes of why we're doing this, that obviously would make it obsolete. So option one, essentially they install it. You rent the equipment. I had kind of at least thought that we would do a 6-month period. They monitor it, like I said, repair it, maintain it. They generate a report. It's kind of, like I said, it's a turnkey deal. Total cost, you're probably about $12,000 for the 6 months. And that's, you know, again, all in. I do need to meet with them. I want to confirm just based upon, and, I mean, we've explained to them the size of the line coming in, into the manhole, the location of the manhole. We've explained kind of the layout of what we're dealing with. I do think that it would be prudent to see if I can't get them to come out there and do a site visit with me just to make sure that they can see what we're looking at before we step off full into it. But I do think, you know, again, my recommendation is that option one is, while it may be a little more expensive and it's a little less of a headache for me, that's not a reason to do it, but is I think it's going to guarantee the best results for purposes of the district having information that's useful.
I'm not seeing the other options. Can you scroll down? Okay. So that would be your recommendation, Keith?
Yes, sir. I mean, just again, ballpark numbers. Option one is probably $5,000 to $7,000 higher than options one and two in total cost. However, that doesn't include, you know, our cost to go out and install it, monitor it, maintain it, so on and so forth. So some of those numbers aren't built in there, but yes, my recommendation is option one.
Keith, but option one, what I'm gathering, you're saying that under option one, you all wouldn't have that much of cost that you'd have to add into the total of that, right?
Yes, sir.
They do most of the monitoring and setup, installation. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, essentially option one, that pretty well be your all-in number. You know, you may see a little bit of cost from us, maybe coordinate with them on the front end or the back end. But the way I understand it, and based on the conversations that I've had with her, they set it up, they maintain it, and then they spit out a report that they would provide to me, and I would pass on to you guys on a monthly basis. you know, the hope is, and, you know, I don't anticipate this, but, you know, at the end of the day, what we don't really care to meter their flow in dry weather. Really what we want to see is what happens during a rain event. And so I, you know, I'm saying, hey, let's go with a 6 month period. And if over those 6 months, being that it's Houston, I'm sure that we'll have at least one fairly significant rain event. But you know, if we get to the end of the 6 months and we haven't been able to actually see what, you know, how the system operates during a rain event, then, you know, maybe we pursue hanging on to the equipment a little bit longer.
Well, hurricane season just started. So if we're going to, when conceivably could we have the system in place?
I think if you guys gave me the green light tonight, and I ironed out a few details in the field, I think probably I would think for sure by your next meeting we've got the equipment in the ground installed and beginning to monitor flow.
Okay, Bob, do you have any comments or observations?
No, Neil, I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, Bob, if that's all you've got, then for now, then we can say goodnight, and we'll talk to you. Hopefully next month we'll be in a position where we can meet in person at the clubhouse.
Yeah, sounds good. I will drop off now. Take care, everybody. Stay safe. Thank you. Bob.
Okay, is there any discussion in regards to this project, or do we want to – Jane, do we need any kind of motion or resolution for this, or can we just make it part of operations?
In the operations report, like in the motion, I can include you all approving, I guess, option one, if that's what you want to go with in that motion.
Okay.
So this is Brent. I had a question. What is the point that this is proposed to be installed?
So our intent would be to essentially, we would set this inside the 8-inch sanitary sewer line on the north side of Clay Road, where it, just before it would flow into that manhole.
So this will include the runoff that comes from Deerfield Village, the little 3-inch force main. So how are we going to know what comes from where?
I mean, again, I think ultimately, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that the intent of all of this is really not so much to determine flow in under normal conditions. It's really to try to confirm, hey, is there a INI or inflow and infiltration issue on the south side of Clay Road? With obviously the understanding that it, you know, there's obviously a whole lot more surface area in the, you know, with the country club. So I think, Brent, I think potentially this solution is twofold. One, let's put the equipment in the ground, and if we have some rain events and we don't see any sort of significant uptick in flow, we're going to see some. But if we don't see a significant uptick, then maybe maybe we've gotten the information we need and we go on down the road. If we do begin to see a significant uptick, then I think, you know, I think we can try to begin to peel back the layers a little further. We're afforded the luxury with Deerfield Park that it's all from a force main. And so it's not going to be exact math, but I should be able to, in communicating with their operator, I should be able to capture pump run times. And if I can get pump information, I can get a relatively decent GPN number. And if I can calculate run times, then like I said, we're going to have a rough estimate as to flow. It's not going to be exact, but I think, you know, it would be close enough to say, hey, they're the cause or they're not. So, I mean, that would be the intent anyways.
Well, I agree. If you can get the electric usage on their electric pumps for the force main, you could determine. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the intent. Like I said, start with just having the equipment at the ground. We have some rain events. If we see a big uptick, then let's start digging into it a little bit more and coordinating with Deerfield Park to try to rule them out of the equation. And if we're able to accomplish that, then, you know, we more or less have our answer.
I mean, basically what we're looking for is infiltration. And we shouldn't be getting a lot of additional infiltration from Deerfield Park because it's a very small community and it's just residential. But yeah, I see where Deerfield Park has to be taken into account. But I mean, if we get a huge rain event, we should not be getting huge numbers from Pine Forest. We should be getting basically their regular domestic and commercial sewage. We shouldn't be getting rain infiltration. So
I think if you look at our pump runtime, we have a lot of infiltration in our system, and it's not all from, I'm sure some's from Pine Forest, but there's other infiltration into our system too.
Yeah, I mean, Neil's point is right in that on paper and in the perfect world, dry sanitary sewer demand versus wet sanitary sewer demand should be one and the same. There's not a system in town that doesn't have some degree of inflow and infiltration. But to Brent's point, I think that's probably fair. And I think, you know, I think at some point, and we can, you know, we can discuss this at a later date with Bob, but I think at some point, you know, similar to what y'all have done several years ago with sanitary sewer surveys of your sanitary sewer lines, we could also look at doing some type of smoke testing district-wide and with the intent of trying to nail down, hey, where do we have voids, cracks, breaks, where essentially we're going to capture stormwater. And that's a pretty effective way to shore that up. And you know, so again, that may be something to consider to try to address I&I within 136.
So do we want to move forward with option one or do you all have different ideas, or how do you want to proceed on this particular item?
Adam, I'm leaning towards option one.
I'm fine with number one.
What's the difference in cost between 6 months and 12 months if we sign up for 12 months?
Total cost, I don't know. I didn't put pen to paper on that, Brent. But the monthly cost, let's see, I can.
Well, it's $1,650 versus $1,100.
Yeah, hang on just a second.
Oh, it says 12-month contract is $1,100 per meter per month.
It's about 16. It's call it 15.5 for the 12-month plus another 1,600. So all in, you're about 17,000. So call it $5,000 more for the additional 6 months.
The double the time.
A little less than 50% of cost.
Well, it's definitely a bigger sample size.
Well, or it could be relocated if we want to put it at a different spot. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. However, I'll ask the question, Brent. But I'm fairly certain that what the equipment that they're going to bring out to 136 is going to be sized for an 8-inch sanitary sewer 8-inch sanitary sewer line. So, if we decide, hey, we want to go register flow on the 18-inch gravity line down by the sewer plant, I think the answer is no, but I can ask the question.
So is this something we want to proceed with, the 6 or the 12-month option one?
It's Adam. I'm looking at our rainfall. Our historic rainfall that's hit that gauge down there at Clay and Marker Cypress, and there's hardly any difference between 6 month and 12 month in terms of how the rainfall's hitting. It looks like, well, unless we hit a huge drought, it looks like we get a pretty good sample from 6 and not much different than 12. So I'm leaning towards the 6 month option one. Over.
I would tend to agree with that, just simply because the bulk of hurricane season will be in the 6 months. What is hurricane season from June 1 to November 1?
That's right.
Okay.
This is Barry. I think I'm leaning towards the 6 month as well.
Eric?
Let's go with 6 month on number one.
Brent?
I'm more like put it in next year's budget.
What? Put it in next year's budget?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's not getting budgeted, and, you know, I'm not super excited about. Just thinking about where do you go once you have the data? And yeah, I don't know. In the end, I'm not sure we gained anything, except we spent $11,000.
Okay. Well, there is no guarantee that we're going to get the kind of feedback that we're looking for. I mean, we could end up with a very dry summer and get virtually no feedback, you know, or we could get significant.
I think six months will be fine to get. There will be a rain event. I have no doubt.
So you're for, are you for 6 months? I mean, we're not taking a vote here, but it looks like four of us are interested in option one, 6 months.
I'm more, you know, doing the project, I think option one, 6 months is fine. I'm not that excited about doing the project.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, I feel like my position on this is this will help MOC. This created a huge issue for MOC in the past. And I think we owe them our due diligence on this. And hopefully we'll get a result. If we don't get a result, we can at least say that we tried to narrow down whether or not they have an issue on their line. So why don't we go ahead and pursue option one, 6 months, Keith?
Sounds good. I'll let them know. We'll get the ball rolling.
With an eye toward getting it in place and operational by the next meeting.
Yes, sir. I'll follow up with him tomorrow, and if it seems like that won't be doable, I'll let y'all know. But I anticipate we can hopefully get it in the ground before our next meeting.
Okay. All right. Thank you. You want to go into your operations report?
Sure. You all should have a copy there. I wish Jay was here. I think this is our cheapest month yet. But at any rate,
you'd find something.
I know you would. Showing 1,078 connections, 7 of those being vacant, received 87,268, 44 in revenue, well produced 435,000 gallons, received 10.7 million from the authority. Totaling 11.138 million gallons. We billed out just shy of 11 million gallons, so we accounted for 98% of the water. No leaks this month. We took the 4 bacteriological samples, and those results were good. Second page is the historical water production and accountability history. Again, there at the bottom for the period ending May 1, showing you at 98% accountability. The third page there is the summary of our invoice. So in large part, the reason for the reduced cost over the last several months, kind of in response to COVID-19, we had moved some things around in regards to work schedule to try to ensure that our guys aren't out doing work on overtime unless it was an emergency. And so we had folks off during the week and working on weekends, like that, you know. And so that's in large part the reason for that reduced cost. And it was just a relatively quiet month, no real big issues throughout 136. Beneath that, the summary of your invoices that were sent to your bookkeeper for direct payment. Your commercial usage, I mean, obviously we're beginning to see kind of the big uptick in demand. I mean, obviously over the last couple of months, we've added about 2 million gallons, almost 3 from a couple of periods before. Beneath that is your log sheet for the water plant for the month of May. Again, seeing that there's more significant well production, you know, in winter months. If you see that thing run, it's going to be for 10, 20, 30,000 gallons, and it's going to be because we're making it run. So obviously as demand increases, the authority, you know, they can kind of dictate supply. And so the way that y'all's controls are set up, as we've discussed in months past, is that as the water level in the tank begins to drop because of demand, if the authority isn't there, your well runs. And so this is what we've seen historically in years past as well.
Keith, excuse me. Yes, do I recall during this past month that you sent out a notice that West Harris County was going to shut us down for a few days for some kind of maintenance? Is that correct?
Yes, sir. They were down. Oh, it was over a weekend. There was kind of some unscheduled or unforeseen maintenance, and it was actually really a product of the city of Houston.
That's right. Yeah.
That arose. They were down for, I think, a day, and they were back up even before that next Monday. But yes, that has come up in the last month.
All right.
And then the final page there is your – well, there's – before that, there's the one uncollectible account. It was, again, an account. This was a renter. The account was left open with an outstanding balance. We take the deposit on file, and this is the amount remaining. Again, there's no approval necessary. We turn them over to Collections Unlimited, but more so informational. And then the final page is your unpaid list. Would look to you all, again, you know, over the last several months – on a month-by-month basis, we've been evaluating whether we terminate services. We've continued to provide notice to folks of their delinquency, but we've stopped short of actually cutting off service in light of all that's going on. I will tell you, at least unless anyone else has heard different, you know, the request from the judge of Harris County was to hold off on service terminations at least through June 1. That's obviously since come and gone. I've not heard nor seen any sort of updated request. I've kind of begun to see kind of a mixed bag from districts that I'm involved in as to whether they resume normal procedures related to delinquent accounts. Some are saying, hey, let's begin to provide notice, charge, penalty, cutoff. And then others are saying, hey, let's kind of hold where we're at for at least another month, and let's kind of see, you know, if there's not an uptick that's coming or something else. So again, I would look to you all for some direction there. The only thing that I would add, just specific to 136, as we discussed last month, is that really still 136, you guys are in fairly good shape. In fact, your delinquent list this month is a few accounts lighter than it was last month. So we're not seeing this huge groundswell in folks that aren't paying their bill because we're stopping, you know, we're holding off on terminations. However, you also notice on the delinquent list towards the bottom there, there's a handful of accounts that have a larger balance than what you would typically see for a residential user. That's primarily the product of, instead of them having roughly 60 days of service and some penalty and maybe a delinquent notice bumped into that amount owed, now you're looking at 90 days or 120 days of service. And so, you know, that's kind of the only net, you know, that's the net effect, at least specific to 136, is that you've got some accounts that are obviously carrying a larger balance than would typically. But with that, that's really all I have, unless you guys have questions for me. Again, fairly quiet on our end, no real issues.
Keith, is there a way to flag accounts that under normal conditions would have been terminated, cut off?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I can notate that moving forward. That's not a problem.
Okay. I think I'd like to see that. in the future, at least for the next few months. I think we should, you know, just see maybe an asterisk next to the line where somebody has an account where it normally would have been cut off. So we can see whether or not we have, you know, two or three or a dozen.
Yeah. Sure. I'm glad to do it. It's not a problem.
I do know the number 36 down there. He lives, or the house is 2 houses down, and he's been gone for 3-4 months. The house is empty. He's obviously not going to pay for a while.
Okay. All right. Anything else on operations you want to bring to our attention, Keith?
No, sir. The only other item, and Neil, I apologize. I know this is drug on, but specific to the water fountain, I was days away from pulling the trigger, and then the whole COVID thing happened, and so it's kind of set on the back burner. The unit's been ordered. The original unit that I intended to order, I can't find anywhere to actually purchase. I've looked and looked and looked. So I found another same type of setup. It's another 3-bowl fountain, and it's ordered, and I hopefully will have it here in the next few weeks. And my intent, again, is to hopefully have that in the ground and operational before we do this again next month. But we'll see. It's somewhat going to depend upon how much longer it's going to take for them to get that thing delivered to us.
This is Barry. I'm not sure we need even move forward on that yet, Neil. With what's going on, I'm not sure it should be operational anyway.
Well, I was gonna bring up the fact that that Deerfield, the homeowners association, has reactivated their water fountains. So, you know, being that it would probably be another month or so at least before we get it installed. Kind of like to at least get the ball rolling. Keith, do you have any idea how long it'll take before we get it?
I'm thinking another two weeks, hopefully, until it's delivered. And then, I mean, the installation, I don't think is going to be all that involved. It's fairly straightforward. I just got to get it. Once it's here, I'll get it scheduled. But we're probably a month out, thereabouts.
Okay, well, let's at least move forward in securing the unit. Once we have it, is it going to be the same quality as the one that we had originally specified?
Yes, sir. No, it's about $4,000 for the fountain, which is about where we were before. So, I mean, I think it's a fairly nice unit.
Okay. Also, sorry, I have dogs here. We want to get the fire hydrants start to get worked on, painted, rehabbed. Can you get us a quote on doing all that? I assume that you would do it all in-house, that MOC would do it, or would you contract that out?
Yeah, we most likely knew it'd actually be a sub, and the sub would probably work underneath our insurance, so you're going to see it on our bill, but there's a guy that does it, and he's just too cheap for it to even make sense for us to do it in-house.
Yeah, as long as they do a good job. I mean, there are some hydrants that are around that are not in very good shape.
Sure. Yeah, no, we've used them all over town, and he'll come in and blast them, clean them all up, prep them, and then come through and paint. He'll just match existing color. I think he'll be happy with it. And it's, like I said, it's fairly affordable. It's not bad.
Can we get a quote for the next meeting?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to bring to our attention?
That's all I have for you this evening.
Any questions or comments or anything for Keith?
This is Brent. This list Do these bills include penalties, or are we not charging penalties?
I believe we are charging penalties, Brent.
So if it's 2 months old, they have the penalties included?
Yes, sir, I believe so. And the penalty doesn't continue to accrue on an unpaid balance. I mean, if you have a $100 bill and it becomes delinquent, you get a $10 penalty. But you don't get another 10% on that $110 that's now owed if you don't pay.
All right, right. That's good. I mean, it says that on the bill. Pay by this date, this amount, or if you wait, then it's this amount.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm good with we don't shut anybody off. That's kind of my feeling.
Well, we may still be under a county order to avoid. I don't know if it was county or if it was the state of Texas.
We may be, but even if we weren't, I think we shouldn't shut anybody off.
I agree there.
That works. We'll just kind of hold where we're at, continue to provide notice.
Okay. So. Yeah, and if you would, Keith, let's have an asterisk on those records on future next month or two.
Sure.
Of accounts that normally would have been terminated that are not.
Not a problem.
Okay. All right. Do I have a motion to approve the operations report, authorize repairs, termination of service to, or not termination of service to delinquent accounts?
This is Barry. I make the motion.
This is Brent. I second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor, state your name and your vote, please.
Barry, yes.
This is Eric, yes.
Adam, yes.
Great, yes.
Neil, yes. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
Consumer confidence report, take any necessary action. We basically approved this at the last meeting, right? Subject to any additional comments that anybody might have.
Yes, sir. Yeah, everything's ready to go there. It's all teed up. In fact, I mean, it's due to your customers here soon.
Did you receive any comments from any of the board members or any of the consultants in regards to the CCR?
No, sir. If any, there may have been a few minor revisions from Dimitri, to my knowledge, no, I'm not aware of any.
Yeah, we reviewed it and we didn't have any comments to it. So.
Okay. All right. So it's been approved and it'll be posted on MOC's website, right, as well as ours.
Yeah. So in the bill, you know, there's just be a little insert that, and it's going to read how it's read in years past, that there was so many contaminants that were detected in your water and everything else. And again, that's all kind of canned language from the state. But within that notice, there's going to be a URL that the customer can go to that's a direct link to the document. I'll provide a copy of the Adam, is it best in a PDF for you? Or
If there's no changes, we've already got it on our website on May 14th.
Okay. Well, then I'll confirm that there weren't any changes. I don't think there were. I'll confirm if there is, I'll shoot it to you. But sound like we're good.
Jane, you said there were a few minor changes?
No, we reviewed it and we didn't have any.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. Very good. So we have a CCR. Rate order and take any necessary action. I think we'll probably postpone that again until we meet in person. There's no burning need to do any of that. Hopefully we'll be meeting in person next month. Did anybody attend telephonically the West Harris County Regional Water Authority meeting?
I did.
Are you going
Say what?
Are you going to tell us all about it?
It was a marathon session at 71 minutes.
Whoa.
It took their sweet time. There were no public comments. On their Facebook page, they have a newsletter that may have been mailed out called Waterworks. And within their Waterworks newsletter, they have a new program called Water My Yard Program. Again, this is free to residents who sign up, and it helps them identify the best time of the day to run their sprinklers. This next Wednesday, Keith may know about this if he's still on. They're having a workshop for operators via video conference. And they also talked about the 96-inch repair that pushed us last week or two to the well for just a hot minute. And they do not expect any further interruptions for the rest of the summer. But that type of thing is usually unplanned, so take it for what it's worth. And that was about it. They spent a lot of money.
They normally do.
Yep, makes our budget look itty bitty.
Well, thank you for attending. We appreciate it. Okay, trash and recycling operations. Any comments in regards to that? Have we been hearing from anybody? Any issues? I guess not. Everybody's happy. Okay, the recycling event. Do we have an update on that, Eric?
No update. I blinked and a month went by.
All right. I think we have to be light on our feet here. We had planned it for, I can't remember what the date was, like October
24? October 24, I believe.
Right. I think we're going to have to be light on our feet with this one because, with the virus still up and around and possibly getting even worse locally, it may be shuttering things that are currently starting to open again. And I just think, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see this weekend how the garage sale goes. That may be sort of an indicator, kind of would give us a little bit of crystal ball as to how the recycling thing could go in October. So anyway.
I'll just make sure that it's marked as tentative and everything is conditional. I'll make sure that we're not locked in for any dollar values because we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for bird dogging this for us, Eric. Agenda item number 14, matters pertaining to the 2020 director's election, including notice of deadline to file applications. Jane?
Yes. So as you all are aware, November is coming sooner than we want. So the next step is before June 18th, I will have to post this notice within the district, notifying everybody that between July 18th and August 18th is when people can submit their applications to be on the ballot. So I will send that tomorrow, posted. And this is just an informational topic. No action needs to be taken or anything.
Where is that going to be posted? It has to be posted locally, like in the HOA office?
Like we're on that bulletin board where we used to normally post the agenda by the community center. That's where it'll be posted.
Okay. Now, application for a place on the ballot, do directors that are up for re-election have to do that as well as yes. anybody who wants to run additionally?
So directors that are up for re-election will have to do that as well as anybody else who would like to.
Okay.
Submit. So we'll get those to you sometime next month.
During the actual applications?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. Any questions on that from anybody? That really only applies to Brent and myself, correct?
Correct.
Okay. District website, Adam.
Let's see. Only I changed the website over the last month, I think, is that I added the link from Eric about lawn watering. It's at the bottom of the Bud Services section. Underneath our trash guidelines, it can go somewhere else if we want. Just let me know on that. Everything else, same old, same old. All documents are up and ready to go.
Well, I want to commend you for doing a really good job on the website, Eric. I mean, Adam. It looks good, and it's good that it's being updated. I like there to be news on a regular basis, you know, like every couple of weeks, put in a news item of some sort, even if it's a link to lawn watering or conservation or something. I hate going to websites. Personally, I hate going to websites where you click on news and the most recent item is like 14 months ago.
Yeah, now that you mentioned that, I will put a – I updated the website with the lawn watering thing, but it's not in the news section. It's all out of section. It has a link, direct link to that.
Okay. No fake news.
All right, got it.
Okay, well, thanks for all you do. Article for the newsletter. We're moving along. Barry Greer. Barry, you're muted.
I'm muted. I got it.
You going to do it?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess don't put anything, or maybe just sort of an oblique reference to the recycling event possibly in October.
Okay.
Just say we're still looking
at tentative schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Agenda items for the next meeting. I think we're pretty well set. I was thinking they have reopened the rec center, just so you know, and because it's been posted on email as well as Nextdoor and elsewhere. We were told that we could have the rec center meeting room for the meeting tonight, but then I asked Jane whether or not they have attended any meetings in person yet.
Muted.
I'm muted? Oh, I'm not muted. So anyway, if the rec center is available next month, and it looks like our consultants are starting to attend other meetings, then we're going to go ahead and try to schedule an in-person meeting at the rec center. Does that sound reasonable? Okay. That's all I have, folks, unless you got something else.
Nope, I'm good.
You good, Adam?
Yep, I'm good.
Brent?
I'm good. Good job, Neil. Good job, Jane. Thanks for setting things up.
Yeah, no problem. This worked out pretty well.
Thanks for attending, everybody. And we'll talk to you hopefully before next month, but see you at the next meeting, hopefully.
And you will pass around checks like before?
Yes, I have Patty's checks. And I think Fran is going to deliver the bookkeeping.
Okay. I'm here. I'm home if you need anything.
Okay. I am going to work, but I can pass them. I can pass them to one person, and they can go on.
That works.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Have a good evening and stay safe.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.